my children, I've called you out of darkness and I've brought you into the light. I've made the things that were wrong, I've made them right. I will give you sight. I will help you fight. Lord Jesus. You believe that? It's good to be in the light. Amen. Amen. Well, you may have your seats. Thank you, worship team. Just keeps getting better and better. Well, we're on the precipice of the tea. The ladies' tea will be here on Saturday. It's our biggest event. And we have a brand new addition in our kitchen. After the service, you can take time and look at our massive cooler the Lord blessed us with. Amen. And we were just glad it fit through the door and rolled right in. God's good, amen? And then after the tea this Sunday, we're going to have Dr. Ron Charles with us. That's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss this Sunday. And then he's going to be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. And if you know some people that you can invite to come with you, come and hear Dr. Ron Charles. Those days, we get extended time with him. That's an awesome thing. And, you know, just ask the Lord. I want you to start preparing what you can give to him, all right? And even if you can't make it during the week, I want to just bless his ministry. And so just prepare your heart. You know, if you can't come, just send it in. You could do it online, or you could send it through the mail, or however you want to do it. You can send your gift on ahead. Amen? And amen. Anything else that we have going on? Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So it's going to be a great week in the ladies' tea. Yeah, we need some volunteers. If you'd like to help serve the ladies, you can. Oh yeah, we're gonna move some chairs after the service. So if we can have everybody help with that, it'll go real quick. Oh yeah. Well, you probably are better at that. Yeah. Yeah, they have. They have lots of people sleeping in their church, and so why don't we pray for Nepal and Kathmandu? And Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight, and we give you thanks and praise, Father, that you bring good things out of bad. And Lord, I ask that your hand of blessing and protection, Father, be upon the Chetris and all the people of Nepal, Father. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to provide everything that the people need, want, and desire in the name of Jesus. Lord, ask you to do a great and mighty work, Father. Let this be a stepping stone and draw people closer to God. Lord, this is an opportunity for you to show yourself strong, Lord, to them whose hearts are loyal to you. And Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Kathmandu, in that country, Father, and we just thank you for moving mightily and sending relief and causing your people to raise up. And we give you thanks and praise, Father, that you're a good God and there's nothing that you can't handle. And we give you thanks for blessing the people of Nepal and helping them through this time to recover and to rebuild. And we just lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you ready for the word tonight? Pastor Fiona did an awesome job. I listened to it. It was fantastic. It's good to be part of an elite preaching team. Amen. Well, why don't you go to the book of Colossians? And I just want to touch on something here from chapter 1, and then we're going to actually finish up chapter 1 tonight. But in verse 12, there's a word in here that just really excites me. And it's on the end of the prayer that Paul prayed for the people of Colossae. He said, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, if there's anything that I really get excited about, it's to partake of an inheritance. Amen? Did you know that you're a partaker? You're one who has a portion in, you share in, you participate in an inheritance. Now, how did you get qualified to be a partaker? Who qualified you or us to be a partaker? Giving thanks unto the Father. The Father, God our Father, has made us, qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. It's not a light inheritance, but it's in the light, right? So I just want to touch on being a partaker, all right? What is a partaker? It's one who has a portion. It's one that you, it's something that you share in, or you take part in, or you participate in. It's a division of share. You know, like if you were to buy stock in a company, right? And what, how much ever stock you buy, that gives you that much ownership of that company, right? You're a participator, and you want that company to do well. Why? Because when the company does well, your stock does well, right? And so God our Father has qualified us to be a partaker. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We have been, we get to participate in God's nature. We've been made new creatures, right? Anybody who's in Christ Jesus is a new creature. You've been made brand new. What pattern did God use to remake you? He used Jesus, right? Jesus is the model. And we're made after his image and his likeness. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting with verse 12, it says this. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Is it possible to depart from God? Absolutely. And you always have to check your heart, right? You got to make sure that there's not an evil heart of unbelief. Okay? He goes on to say, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So I want to exhort you. I want to encourage you to partake of Christ, partake of his blessings, partake of his strength, partake of his peace. Did you know that God's got more than enough to go around? You know, think of God as a constant Thanksgiving dinner. And you get to that table's already been prepared for you. Did you know that God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies? He'd rather you sit and eat a good meal than focus on your enemies. Think about that. And you see all this good stuff on the table, and you say, could you pass the biscuits, or could you pass the rolls, or could you pass the potatoes, or could you pass whatever you like? And it just keeps passing, and when it's passed to you, you get to partake of it. You get to share in it. You get to taste it. You get to try it. You get to do it. We get to partake of Christ. If he gets raised, you get raised. When he increases, you increase. That's what it means to partake, to share. What happens to him happens to you. You share. We are joint heirs with Christ, aren't we? Whatever he gets, we get. Okay? Because the Father has qualified us to be partakers of an inheritance. And then go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. How many has obtained like precious faith? How did you obtain it? Right? You heard the word of God. Faith came to your heart. You accepted it. You believed it. You received it. And you have obtained it. And we obtain like precious faith. With us, notice, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how is grace and peace going to be multiplied to us? Through knowledge, right? The more we know about God, the more our grace and peace can be multiplied to us. Okay, our knowledge becomes an exponent, right? 10 to the second power, or 10 to the 10th power, it keeps increasing, doesn't it? So our knowledge of God acts like an exponent when it comes to grace and peace being multiplied in our life. Then he says in verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, your physical life and your spiritual life, the natural and the spiritual, or the natural and the spiritual, or the supernatural is what I meant to say. Isn't that awesome? His divine power, is it going to give us? Already has given unto us all things. He gives you everything that you need for this life and the life to come. Your natural and your spiritual. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Whew. This is what God thinks of his promises. They're exceeding great and precious, valuable. These promises can enrich your life. Okay? Then he says that by these, what are the these he's talking about? the exceeding great and precious promises. When you know the promises, when you have knowledge of the promises, notice what happens. That you might be partakers of what? Divine nature. That's the nature of God. That's the life of God. That's the power of God. We get to partake of divine nature because we get to know what his promises are. Knowing his promises, we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can you say amen? Ooh, I love to share in what Christ has. We get to share in his power. We get to share in his goodness. We get to share in his blessing. That's what it means to be a partaker. And God has qualified each one of us. We couldn't qualify ourselves. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't have a particular position. We couldn't know a particular person. We couldn't be from a particular geographic area. It is the Father who qualified us through Jesus Christ. Anybody who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is qualified to be a partaker, a sharer, a participant in God's nature. That's why anybody who puts faith in Jesus Christ, you are not just an old sinner saved by grace. You have a new nature. You don't have the sin nature anymore. You have a different nature. God put his nature in us when we got born again. And I mean, his nature just lifted us up. His nature transformed us. His nature. He made us part assistants or members in his nature. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this: we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the very same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what? For those of you that get depressed when your numbers turn on your age, When you look at the next number in a depressed way, know that you go from glory to glory. And when you know that you go from glory to glory, it doesn't matter what the numbers say. Amen? What matters is you behold the image and you're being transformed in the same image. What's the mirror? The mirror is the Word of God. And when we're holding the Word of God in our hand, we're holding God's glory. We're holding his image. And when we look to that, when we look to the mirror, when we study his Word, we're being transformed into the very same image that we see. Can do the very same things that he can do. Oh, but Jesus, he was the Son of God, and that's why he did what he could do. But you know what? He wants us to share in the very same thing. He has made it possible for us to follow his example. You want to be successful? Follow Jesus. You want to increase? Follow Jesus. You want to prosper? Follow Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to Colossians. Knowing that you're a partaker of his nature is very important to know if you want to walk in and maintain the victory that he gave to us. You got to know that, you know, Paul had this revelation. He wrote in Galatians, he said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. He said, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Paul became a totally different person. Why? How did he do that? He became a totally different person because he partook of the divine nature. He shared the divine nature. He allowed that divine nature to come into him and to transform him from the inside out. Amen. All right, let's go back to Colossians. And let's go down to verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, the him he's talking about is Christ, should all the fullness dwell. Okay? And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So, in order to walk and maintain the victory that Christ gave us, we've got to operate in his reconciliation. How many know that we've been reconciled? You think, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be reconciled? It means to be transformed. It means to be something that was away has now been brought near. It means that a relationship was broken. How did that relationship get broken? God told Adam, he said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. But before Adam ate of that tree, him and God had fellowship. What did they do? God would come down into the garden, and he would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. God and Adam had conversation. They had fellowship. They had communion. They shared some things in common. You know? And notice what God did. God gave Adam the ability to name the animals. Adam named the animals. So if you're wondering where a platypus came from, it came from Adam. And Adam and God, they shared something. They had an intimacy, right? But when Adam sinned, what was the first thing he did? He hid. The close fellowship that they had got broken. Sin came into that relationship. And now Adam was separated from the life of God. And the minute Adam sinned, death began to work in him. Okay? But God, what God did in reconciliation was, there wasn't any other person that could bridge that gap other than God's own Son. Man couldn't get to God. God wanted to fellowship with man, but the fellowship was broken. And it needed to be fixed. And the process by which that relationship gets fixed is reconciliation. And God was in Christ. Because he put all the fullness in Jesus. He made Jesus' name above every name. He gave him the ability to judge. And God was in Christ reconciling all things to himself. Christ was the tool that God used to repair broken relationships. It is through Christ that we get to connect with God again. It is through Christ Jesus, through his work on the cross, through his work on Calvary, through his death, burial, and resurrection, that now we can have the fellowship that we had in the beginning with God, that Adam had with God, that same fellowship that Adam had can now be restored through Christ Jesus. That's what reconciliation is. It's a process. God initiated reconciliation. Because we certainly didn't do it. We broke it, but it had to be God fixing it. Because we couldn't fix it. And because of reconciliation, now God and us can be friends again. We can now come into his presence without a sin consciousness, without guilt and shame and condemnation. We have an open invitation, and we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And we can obtain mercy and find grace when we need it because of reconciliation. Go with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Here's what happens in reconciliation. God was given Daniel a vision, and he said, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon your holy city. Number one, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. Number three, to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So in reconciliation, our transgression comes to an end and we're brought into everlasting righteousness. God wants everybody to be, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He wants everybody to be righteous, and there is an open invitation, but only those who accept it can come in and experience it. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us get this tonight. Let us get a revelation that we've been reconciled, that God was in the world, in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, repairing broken relationships, redeeming us, making it possible for us to have an intimacy again. Hebrews 2 and verse 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, talking about God becoming man, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In other words, God who is holy, God who is righteous, God who is pure, Jesus had no sin. But yet, on the cross, he took all of our sins. He took the entire world. John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, like a vacuum cleaner. And cobwebs. You know when you see cobwebs hanging in the corner? I like to take the vacuum and just go. Just, it sucks them right up. Jesus took our sin like a vacuum cleaner. He sucked our sins from us and he took it upon himself, but he didn't stay with it. He nailed it to the cross. When he left it on the cross, he became sin who knew no sin, and he put it on the cross, and he made payment, and payment was made for our sin. He did take the sin away. He took it away like the vacuum cleaner takes away the cobwebs. He utterly removed, sin no longer has dominion on us. Sin no longer can rule you. Before Christ, you couldn't get out of it. But in Christ, you can say no to it because he took the sin away. He reconciled us. He did some, the military does reconnaissance. What they go in and they kind of spy out something. They kind of get the lay of the land, because if they're planning an attack, they want to get the information so that they can have an effective attack. Oh, God had an effective attack on sin. He totally destroyed sin from the inside out. Do you realize he came to this earth looking like a sinful man, although he had no sin. But he looked just like us. He had flesh and blood just like us. He was human, but yet he was God. And that spotless lamb took our punishment, took our pain, took our sins, took our filth, took our junk, took our mess, and he took it away from us. And he nailed that sucker to the cross, because eventually he was going to get down from that cross, and he did. But he wasn't going to stay dead. See? But God was reconciled. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. And I want to read this from the Amplified. Okay? Romans 5, verses 8 through 11. It says this: God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. Notice, you know, guess what? While we were sinners, we were not making an attempt to get right with God. We didn't know how. We didn't know the way. But while we were sinners, while we were separated from the life of God, Christ stepped into our time. He injected himself into time. He became man. He walked this earth. Okay? He proved his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right? Therefore, verse 9, since we are now justified, say, I'm justified. Right now. Do we really get what that means to be justified? It means, the word means, just as if we've never sinned. Justified means we were just like in the beginning now. Sin has been removed from us. Does that mean we don't sin? No, because we still live in this body. Okay? This body that we live in has to be subdued, and our minds have to be renewed every day. And when our bodies are not subdued, it gets us into trouble. All of us. Since we are now justified, acquitted, made righteous, brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood, how much more? Whew, how much more? Don't you love it when the Bible says how much more? You think you had enough. You think you could only take so much. But then he says, how much more? How much more? He says, oh, wait a minute, I'm not done yet. You thought you were done. You thought you could only take. No, how much more? We shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through his death, the death of his son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled, that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. Not only so, verse 11, but we also rejoice and exultingly glory in God in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy reconciliation. Woo! We need to enjoy our reconciliation. We need to enjoy the fact that we can come to God anytime that we need to, any day, any hour of the day. It doesn't matter. We can come to our Father and we can have discussions and we can have talks and He will help us. He will hear us and He will heal us. He will work on our behalf. If you want to walk and maintain the victory, you got to walk as a reconciled person. Sin's been done with. Let's get about the business of the Father. Let's do what God's called us to do. Let's be all that God wants us to be. Don't let the enemy, listen, the enemy has lost his grip on you. He cannot bring condemnation on you anymore. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but He came to save the world. Jesus Christ came to save us. So let's live like we're saved. Let's live like the head and not the tail. Let's live like we're above and not beneath. Too many people are trying to live like they're beneath their cares. They're beneath all these things, and life is such a burden. Woe is me. My burden is so heavy. Well, you need to come to the store and get that exchanged. Did you know that God's got a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness? If you're feeling heavy, you can change clothes. And just one change of clothes will make you lighter. Amen? Now, why did we need to be reconciled? What are the reasons that Christ reconciled us? It's found in verse 21 of Colossians. Number one, we were alienated from the life of God. Yes, at one time we were all aliens. You know, when you're an alien, you don't get to partake of, you're like an outsider looking in. We were separated from God. It says in Ephesians 2, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead. But now I've been raised to life. The man I used to be, I'm a different man now. I don't do the things I used to do because I'm different. The things that I used to do, that man died. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were worldly. We were ruled and led by Satan. Did you know anybody who has not made Jesus their Savior, Satan lords over them? We were disobedient. This was before we were reconciled. This is why we needed to be reconciled. We were seeking to fill our flesh lusts. If it feels good, do it. That's what our motto was before Christ. You know, even the best, most honorable person without Jesus is in darkness. Because you can't enjoy reconciliation by being a good person. It takes faith in Jesus Christ. We needed to be reconciled because we were children of wrath. We were destined for destruction. But God's reconciliation comes in. We don't have to be aliens and strangers or enemies to God anymore. So how were we reconciled? We were reconciled in His body that hung on a cross. We were reconciled through someone dying. One person had to die for all of us. We were in reconciliation now. We are presented as holy. You know what? When I make a marriage pronouncement, I now pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. Jesus, he presents us to the Father. He said, here, Dad, they're holy. They're clean. They're righteous. They're above reproach. And to keep reconciliation polished, how many know that sometimes our reconciliation can be tarnished like silver? But if you just break out some polish, and if you pour it on there and rub it in, you get your shine back. Some of us, we need to get our shine back. How do we do that? Colossians 1:22 tells us we need to continue in the faith. How many know faith is a journey? And anytime that you want to get off the off-ramp on faith, you can. But I want to encourage you to continue in faith. Don't get slack in faith. Get stronger in faith. Get more reliable, more committed. Amen? Get more on fire for God. Burn brighter. Stoke up the flame. We need to be grounded and steadfast. If you want to keep your reconciliation polished, you got to be grounded. Where do you get grounded? You get grounded in church. You must be part of a church. Jesus is the head of what? He bought the church with what? His blood. So if he's the head of the church, that tells me that he thinks of it as being pretty important, because Jesus wouldn't be the head of just anything. He is the head of the body. We are the body of Christ. And we've got to be continuing faith. We've got to be rooted and steadfast, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What's that? We got to know that we have a heavenly home. Never forget that your home is not here. Always remember that you're just passing through. You're only on this earth for a short time. Jesus came from heaven, but where did Jesus go when his work was done? He went right back to his home, right? Because his home is in heaven. And just like Jesus ascended to heaven when his work was done, we are going to ascend to heaven when our work is done too. Never forget that heaven is your home. And everything you do now provides building material so Jesus can build your home there. So you want to be sure to send him enough material so that he can build you a nice place. Amen? So part of experiencing, walking in and maintaining the victory is living and operating in our reconciliation. You and God now are partners. There's no gap. You have been granted access to God. You have been engrafted into his family. We have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've been adopted. We weren't born Jewish, but we were made Jewish. Woo! Did you know that you work for a rich Jew? And your retirement plan is out of this world. Your health insurance is by his stripes you're healed. And your employer loves you so much that he treats you like his own child. I want you to be encouraged tonight. We have been reconciled. We have been made righteous. We have been brought near to God. There's no longer a gap. There's no longer a schism. Hallelujah. You can go and have a conversation with the creator of the universe. He has an open door policy. All you got to do is come in. If he's meeting with the angels, you can interrupt him. Why? Because he's your daddy. You can go into the throne room and sit on his lap. And he'll give you a big hug, and he'll look at you, and he'll smile on you, and he'll just have a good time with you. Because that's what God does. God loves us so much. Oh, if we just fall in love with Jesus. And when we see him, when we get home, he's going to wipe away every tear. Every pain is going to be gone. Everything that we went through will just be a distant memory. And we're going to enjoy. We have reserved seats at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the greatest party the universe has ever known. It's going to be, I'll tell you what, God knows how to party. There's no party like a Holy Ghost party. Let's start the party early. Let's start partying right now. Let's celebrate our reconciliation. Let's get excited about what God has done for us. We couldn't do it, but he did it. He accomplished it. Not one thing is missing. There's not one piece that we have to add to it. All we have to do is believe in what he did. Amen? Oh, Heavenly Father, we welcome your presence here tonight. I ask you, Father, to breathe fresh on your people tonight. Lord, touch them by the power of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We can celebrate being in the light. If you're here tonight and you just need a touch from the Master, he wants to touch you. Whatever you need touched in, he can touch it. Because when he touches it, something happens. Just one touch from the Master's hand can make all the difference in the world. Right? He can turn any bad situation into something good because he loves you. Why don't you stand up for a minute, Paul? I just feel the anointing of God. Just wants to, Father, let your anointing just come upon him right now.